flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Chiefs take over. Two timeouts. The buck 50. Mahomes hit as he threw. And was it scooped by Smith? Ruled a pick for the moment at midfield for Roquan Smith.
Ruling on the field is an interception.
Week one, which seemed like only yesterday, which is now 4 months ago, Roquan Smith, NBC on the call, opening night against the Chiefs, got the interception there. Let's be honest. He wasn't really that great that game, if memory serves, week one against Kansas City. But that was a pick, and we're going to talk about the linebackers here in a second. Thank you, Nolan, for that. But real quick, Benny, let's get back to the D-line. Michael Pierce, Brent Urban.
Yeah, Michael Pierce, last year in 23, phenomenal year. 42 tackles, 1.5 sacks. And then this year, last year he played 17 games, and that was the thing. Like, he had never done that before. And this year he was kind of back to normal, where he went on IR, played 11 games, had 19 tackles, 2 sacks. I thought in the rotation, he's fine because he's stout at the point of attack. And he got some pass rush. He got some bull rush in there. So, you know, he did get a little pressure. He didn't play a ton. But I thought when he came back and he played, the run game stoppage got better because – you know, they were struggling for a few games in there because Travis Jones had the ankle and then Michael Pierce was out and then those two came back and things were a lot different. You know, Michael Pierce coming back another year, I don't know. I'm guessing he may be done.
Now, Brent Urban's a free agent, so...
I think he is done. I think he dropped off over this past year. Bats a couple balls, you know, field goal block type stuff. He's a tall guy, gets high. He may be done too, Bob. I mean, they need to get younger there.
All right, let's get to Roquan. First team All-Pro. Pro bowler, which he tapped out of. But he got accolades for sure, and he played much better in the second half of the season, like the rest of the defense did in the first half. So Roquan Smith, we're still looking at arguably the best player at his position right now.
Yeah, you know what's funny, Bob, is you know, everybody says that last year he was spectacular, right, with Queen?
Sure.
Okay. Last year, Roquan had 16 games, just like this year, 84 solo tackles, 74 assists, 158 tackles, 1.5 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, 8 pass defense. All right, this year where we said that he wasn't good early. All right, 16 games. 81 solo tackles, 73 assisted tackles, 154 tackles, 1.5 sacks, 4 tackles for loss. So, I mean, he almost had the identical stats. And this year, everybody's, you know, he wasn't as good. And let me just say, I was on that train, too, at the beginning. He looked heavier. He didn't look as fast. He struggled in pass coverage. But then once Simpson stopped playing, I thought he was dominant again. So I guess that's why the linebacker coach is gone and Simpson didn't play.
Yeah, Mark DeLeon. Yeah. So that leads us, of course, to Trenton Simpson, given an opportunity to start. And let's just say did not take advantage of said
opportunity. No, he ended up with 73 tackles and 1.5 sacks. We thought over 90 tackles. And if he'd have been starting the whole time, he probably would have. But the thing about it is where are his tackles? You know, the thing that with Trenton was last year, I thought he needed a redshirt year because he was lost in space. He didn't know where the ball was. He played slow. This year, played much faster. I thought he did a decent job in coverage at times, but he would get lost. And I think I think that Roquan had to spend a lot of time during the game, you know, because Roquan was in charge of it all. The back, Green Dot, you got to control the back, you got to control the front, and you got to control Trenton. I think it was way too much for him. And as we saw, things got better when Kyle was controlling the back. But back to Simpson.
Yeah.
I think Simpson plays soft. I don't think he strikes, you know, because they brought in Malik Harrison and board. They come up and they would take on the blockers, whereas Simpson would catch the blockers. And I think that's the biggest thing. And he would get driven out. So it was like Roquan was playing by himself. It was the biggest thing. So, and Simpson got worse as the year went along. So going into this year, you got to draft a guy. You got to go sign a guy. Well, you got to sign a guy. You need a veteran guy in there at least because you don't know what you got with Simpson. You know, you're hoping that a new linebacker coach, you know, comes in and gets him right. But you go back, you go to Orr because Orr coached him the year before. What do you think, Zach? I mean, Zach had to be part of taking him out
sure.
If you're the coordinator. So there's a lot of question marks, you know, on Simpson right up because, Bob, they didn't even give him a snap on defense. I mean, they were playing Board and Harrison instead of him, and it was like, you're not even allowed on the field unless we're up 30.
How do you reestablish his confidence, which I'm guessing is shaken at this point in time?
Well, I think that'll be a big job of the new linebacker coach to do that. But you don't know what you're going to get or what you've got until you get to training camp. You're not going to know until he starts playing games what actually he is. You know, did he look better this training camp and stuff? Yes. I thought he started out the year okay, you know, making some plays. But then it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And communication, you know, there's so much talk of communication. He must have some part in talking to people, too, because he didn't talk to anybody.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch, breaking down that Ravens defense, passing or failing grade. So that's a failing grade for
no doubt.
Trenton Simpson. Now, you mentioned Malik Harrison, who took over and did yeoman's work for sure, and things got better for Roquan and the defense when he did. But he's a free agent, unrestricted after this season. So what are we doing here?
Now, with Malik Harrison, is last year, 23, he had 20 tackles. This year, he had 54 tackles and 2 sacks. So he was much more involved, as we all know. But he's kind of a Swiss Army knife. You know, he's like a master of none, and he plays on special teams. And we know what he is. As an inside linebacker, as long as he's moving forward, he's good. Because he's got size to him, and he can step up and take on the guards, those types of things. Anything where he's got to move laterally or go backwards, he's a liability. Just because he's not good in space, he's not the best of athletes. And he's been that since day one. Now, on the outside, they use him on the outside. He is not a pass rusher, period. But he can stack at the point. You know, he can set the edge. So he's got some, and they played him when run stuff on there. So you would like to get better is what you'd like to do.
So you let him walk, or
you know, Bob, if you can get him for him, if he's sitting out there in a couple weeks, and you can get him for your number, whatever Eric feels like his number is, which is probably not going to be high. And we've heard John Cooper from our lads tell us that there's good linebackers in the draft, so he's not going to get a lot of at least not early. He's not getting a lot of action, and maybe he comes back, and you know, if he knows, and apparently he knows his role, and maybe he thinks he's a starter now. I don't know, but he probably wouldn't. He won't be. So if he would, special teams, and then, you know, you're a backup linebacker and kind of not play as much as he did this year.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, resume with the defensive breakdowns here. If you want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Real quick, both of you to get in here. Bill Belichick said they should possibly, didn't say they should, but rename the Lombardi Trophy after Tom Brady. I'm thumbs down a bazillion times over on that
one. Yeah, I'm thumbs down naming it after a player. No. You know, I totally agree with you. No,
maybe there is something more to him and the Raiders' job.
Well, let me ask you this then, Bob. Let's say that Mahomes breaks it. Then we got to call it the Mahomes Trophy.
No, it's the Lombardi Trophy. Yeah. He won the first two. It is what it is. There's no logo changes, no trophy name changes. It is what it is. Until corporate sponsor comes along with $8 billion. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Elevate your Valentine's Day experiences here at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Start off with a sensational chilled seafood tower. Then indulge in sizzling premium entrees like the petite filet and lobster tail or the tomahawk ribeye served on a 500-degree plate and accompanied by a handcrafted cocktail or a selection from the fabulous wine and champagne list. I love that wine list at Ruth's Chris. I'm a white wine drinker, and they have fabulous white wines. My wife likes red, and she loves the red wine list. And top off your meal with a little something sweet like our creme brulee, homemade cheesecake, or chocolate sin cake. Reserve your romantic evening as soon as possible at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Annapolis, Baltimore, Odenton, and Pikesville.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, handing out postseason grades for the Ravens. We're defense now, and we're sticking around linebacker a little bit. And Adape Owe was kind of a disappointing player for most of his career, head into this season with 13 sacks in 3 years. But boy, he almost caught that one, Vinny, in just 1 year, and then, you know, got an extra one in the playoffs. So Adape Owe, I mean, are the numbers deceiving, or is this guy kind of a really disruptor there getting to the quarterback?
Well, last year he had 13 games he played, and he had 23 total tackles and 5 sacks. This year, he's got 39 total tackles and 10 sacks and 9 tackles for loss. So he was a lot. I would say prior to this year, an underachiever. And I think this year, I think he did well. And plus, being around Chuck Smith and stuff for a couple of years, because you can see that his pass rush repertoire has improved. It still needs to get better. Like, he's got that spin move back inside, which helps him a lot. But I still think that, is he an elite pass rusher? No. No, because what you hear everybody talk about win rate, his win rate's not great. And I think he gets a lot of sacks because of hustle and effort. And it might be because the inside guys push the guys out and he's fast enough to track people down. You know, and I think he does a decent job, you know, in the run stuff. But what you notice is when they're playing against teams that run a lot, or especially lately, or on first down, who was playing a lot? Tavius Robinson was the guy in there playing against the run, not Oweh. So Oweh's numbers were down rep-wise, but his sack total was way up. You know, so good for him. Good for him. Am I going to pay him a fortune? No. You know, I mean, I'm not paying him like an elite pass rusher. Picked up the fifth-year option, which was a good thing they did, because you'll pay him that. And then because, you know what? You got another year to figure out what he is. You know, if he gets 10 more sacks again next year, then he's going to get paid. And, you know, and if he can get another 40 tackles, then that'd be it. All right, we need you to match what you did this year if you want to get paid. That's what I tell his agent.
Now, you mentioned Tavius Robinson, a kind of an unsung hero and a quiet contributor on defense. And he did get a little sack action every now and again himself, too.
Yeah, Tavius Robinson's kind of a interesting guy, you know, because he was a guy that, older guy, plays all 17 games. You know, you notice him, but you don't hear a lot because he's not that nifty sack dude and everything. He had 3.5 sacks, but what he is he's extremely consistent, especially against the run. And he's excellent against the run. He is excellent because he does a great job fundamentally. And from that backside, he can close down. You know, he's made some plays from there. And it seems like he's gotten more confident as the season went along. And, you know, if he could increase, you know, he had 3.5 sacks. If he could increase that to 6 next year and, you know, play his run stuff, they can get by with, you know, like him being the starter and then rotating in on third downs, playing on the rundown stuff, and then Oweh playing more pass stuff. And then Vannoy getting older and Vannoy not playing as much run stuff. But Tavius Robinson was a pleasant surprise.
Now, Kyle Vannoy, we can't not mention him. He got into the Pro Bowl. He had his monster year with the sack totals. I'll admit, I would be happy if he duplicated the 9.5 from last year, which I didn't think he would. And not only didn't, he exceeded it. So Kyle Vannoy.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give Vannoy a lot of credit. And, I mean, last year he got off the couch and he played 14 games, regular season games. He had 30 tackles, 9 sacks. And this year he played 16 games, had 41 tackles, 12.5 sacks, 14 tackles for losses, 2 pass defense. Had an awesome year.
Yes, he did.
Had an awesome year. Played great. And you thought, oh, he's going to wear down. No, he didn't. He got better as the season went along. And I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, when he came in off the couch, you know, it takes a while to get into game shape and everything. He was there all off season. Plus, he loves it there, number one, and he's got 2 good dudes on the inside with him. And as you get older, you beat people with your brains. Because the thing with Kyle Vannoy, super smart dude, he can beat you. He can beat those offensive tackles because he knows every counter that there is. Oh, you're going to pass it? I'll swim back inside. And what they like to do with him too, and Matabike is they'll bring one. They'll bring Matabike out, or no, Travis Jones. They'll bring him out, and then Vannoy will come back, you know, on a twist and come back underneath, and that's where he got a few of his sacks too. And Vannoy, you watch him like on the bootleg stuff. You can't trick him. You know, he's not going to fall down inside, and he's going to cover that guy. I mean, he's a really smart guy, and it seems like loves being a Raven, and it sounds like he's great in the locker room. So, I mean, super happy with that dude.
Spitty and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, breaking down the Ravens defense, handing out some passing and failing grades. So there's another pass, of course, for Kyle Van Noy. We got to start Marcus Williams, probably an ex-Raven. It's just a formality here. And, you know, we've talked about it all season long. The decline was steep and sudden and almost unexplainable.
Bob, I can't agree with you more. I mean, that's the biggest. I mean, last year, Bob, I was playing with one arm. He played in 11 games, and he had 55 tackles, 8 pass defense, and an interception. And this year, I got to go way down the list here.
Yeah, go back to September, I guess.
Marcus Williams played in 11. He had 33 tackles, 2 pass defense. He was just non-existent. I mean, we talk about play like a Raven. No, he didn't play like a Raven, you know, and he looked like he didn't want to play. He looked like he didn't want to be here, and he was awful. He was awful for the Ravens, and they recognized it, and he didn't even dress. So I'd love to find out what happened, because I asked Harbs, you know, or Eric, I can't remember which one answered, but oh, it was Eric. We love Marcus Williams. You know, he was a good pro and blah, blah, blah. You know, and he understood his role as a backup. Yeah, you ain't a backup when you're making $13 million.
I mean, it was like, and only getting here real quick before we get to break, and then Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk will be joining us. I'm sure it's happened, but off the top of my head, I don't recall. Still in his prime, age-wise.
Yeah.
And he was semi-productive, as Vinny said, hurt last year. His first year, he led the league in picks, then he broke his wrist, and all of that. It was like injury-related things preventing him from doing what he was doing with the Saints, but just went, whew, like gonzo, like the old Acapulco cliff diving you used to watch on Wild World of Sports way back when. Can't recall a guy other than age whose production just went from, hey, he's acceptable, we've got the best safety duo in football, to let's get him out of here as quickly as possible.
There was one rumor that he, in that team meet, you know, the team meeting they had or whatever, that he challenged Zach Orr. That was a rumor.
Ah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, besides injury, seemed to be healthy enough this year. And even if he did have a problem with Zach Orr's defense, what did we see, even in the early stage of the season when it really was Orr running the show, what was so different about what they were doing then compared to last year with Mike McDonald? To me, just the average fan viewer, I didn't see anything that was glaringly different that would cause a player to have issues going from a previous scheme to this year.
And Norm, the thing about it was, at minicamp, I was bragging about him. You know, because Kyle was out hurt, I was bragging about Marcus Williams.
So he was bought in then.
Yeah, hey, when we have the off-the-record thing, I can't wait to find out.
We need to bring back Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, that's right. NFL. And by the way, it was target diving. Remember they dive into the targets? I hit a bullseye. There you go. All perfect form, my friend Bill Fleming on the call. Anyway, I'm Joe Mage, Vinny and Eddie, 105.7 The Fan. Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk. We'll talk about the Super Bowl, the championship games, and the Pro Bowl festivities, and everything else going on. There's still an opening in New Orleans, but it seems like a foregone conclusion that old Kellen Moore is going to get that gig.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
Start a request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your song request, Plazaport text line. Only Draws waiting for you. One more segment to go. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday, little Jacksons for you. Going back to the 80s, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Super Bowl 59 is set. And here to talk about that and more from ProFootballTalk.com on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome to the show Miles Simmons. Miles, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here in Baltimore.
No problem, guys. Thank you for having me. And thank you for that intro music, man. A little Can You Feel It from the Jacksons. I love it.
Yeah, well, Nolan's doing a great job over there as our little Ryan Seacrest with the music. But, Miles, on Royal Rumble week, a lot of a talk, as you well know, because you cover the NFL, about the fixes in and the Chiefs get preferential treatment. And this is a narrative that's kind of picked up last couple of years. Where do you stand on let's say, unsavory activities going on? Is Sheriff Goodell maybe dictating things, or is this all a bunch of crap here?
I think it's such garbage, and I think it's such soft talk from people. You know, like, why do we have to make excuses for the fact that you can't win? You know, why are we making excuses for the fact that Josh Allen, who is, like, what, 6'6" and 100 bajillion pounds, like, why aren't you pushing yourself through enough to make it so that there is no doubt on 4th-and-1? I mean, how many times have we watched the Eagles run the tush-push play, and there's just no question that they get it on 4th-and-1, right? I mean, that's, to me, the bigger issue here. It's execution. You know, why do we have to have, oh, my gosh, the Chiefs get this, the Chiefs get that, when Josh Allen got the ball back, you know, with the 3 minutes and 30 however many seconds, and you have the ability to go down the field? I mean, how many times have we seen Patrick Mahomes get that and then go do it, right? Tom Brady, he used to get it, and then he goes and does it. So I just – the whole excuse making, and like going back to the Texans talking about it after the game, like, it's so soft, you know? And to me, when D'Amico Ryans is starting it from the head coach and then it permeates throughout the rest of the team, it just says to me, like, what are you really going to win if you think that everybody is against you so much that you have to go out and talk that much about it and you can't really just focus on yourself enough to say, hey, I need to play better. I need to execute better. I don't like that kind of thing.
Hey, Miles, let me just say, I love reading the website. I've been reading it for a lot of years, and very informative, and I enjoy it. So thank you. Miles, let me ask you this. Tom Brady, will he be an announcer, or will he be the owner? Will they allow him to continue?
I felt like there was a butt coming when you started talking about how good the website was.
No, I don't know. There's no butt
for that. usually when I go on and, you know, people start talking about how much they like the website, it's like, but Mike Florio doesn't. And I'm like, oh, yeah, and I got to make excuses.
I don't mind Florio.
I don't either. He's a good guy. But with Tom Brady, I think he will try to do both, which is weird to me. You know, when you have someone who is a minority owner and has taken as much control as Tom Brady has in the process, and I guess taking control is probably the wrong turn of phrase there, because Mark Davis has given Tom Brady that much control, right? And so, you know, you listen to Pete Carroll, John Spytek, new head coach and general manager of the Raiders, and they're really talking about how much Tom Brady was involved in the process, and they're grateful to Tom Brady, and they're going to lean on Tom Brady in order to try to figure out the quarterback and this and that. And I think that that's really interesting. I mean, it's probably good for Mark Davis to lean on somebody who knows as much football as Tom Brady does. I think it's good for Mark Davis to bring in somebody as a head coach who knows football like Pete Carroll. Right. I mean, there's nobody I think that you could hire with maybe more credibility when it comes to trying to turn a program around. So those are both good things. But yeah, I think it's an odd conflict of interest when you have somebody who is a minority owner who is who's effectively operating as the president of football operations for one team. And then they are still going and they're going to go call the Super Bowl next week for Fox. Like, that to me is odd, but, you know, I guess that's just the world we live in today.
Miles, who's the MVP?
It's going to be Lamar Jackson. You know, and I don't know that you can go wrong with either Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. I think both had incredible seasons. I think both of them are deserving of MVP. But when, you know, you look at, okay, who is the first team all pro? Well, that's Lamar Jackson. Then, well, that's most likely going to be your MVP. And that is coming from, because it comes from the same voters, right? You know, you have the AP voters for the All-Pro team who are effectively the same as the AP voters for MVP. And so when that happens, I think that is the biggest tell of it. And I don't think it's the wrong choice. I think what Lamar Jackson did was absolutely historic. He didn't turn the ball over. He threw a ridiculous amount of touchdowns. I mean, for as good as he was last year and for as good as he was in 2019, he was that much better this year. So, you know, if I don't have a vote, if I did have a vote, it would have gone to Lamar Jackson by like a hair over Josh Allen, who I think who is just as deserving. But, you know, for Josh Allen, it's like, man, you know, you run up against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. And then you run up against Lamar Jackson for the MVP. And it doesn't take away from how good he is as a player. But, I mean, in these situations, you know, that there's only one, you know, there's only one.
Hey, Miles, did you happen to see Liam Cohn's introductory press conference? I mean, like, first impression of a press conference, you're like, I told Bob, I said it was like Opie Taylor.
He's like a rock star going, hello, Cleveland, and he's in, like,
Duval!
Detroit or something.
No. You did it right. He did Duval, which is weird. Like, I mean, if you know anything about anything, don't you know it's Duval, right? That it's this, how do you emphasize the wrong syllable of that when you're the head coach there? Yeah, I mean, the whole Liam Cohen to the Jack situation was interesting, at least in my standpoint, where you have Trent Baalke, general manager, the former general manager now of the Jacksonville Jaguars, where basically everybody is saying, going into the offseason, hey, Shad Khan, you're the owner of the Jaguars. Why are you firing only Doug Peterson and not Trent Baalke? That is going to prevent you from probably attracting the best coaching candidates for your role. And Shad Khan's like, no, it's not. And then Liam Cohen's like, yeah, I'm not going to take that job because Trent Baalke's there. And Shad Khan's like, oh, mon Dieu, okay, well, I guess I got to get rid of Trent Baalke now. And he's like, well, everybody told you that was going to be the case. And so, yeah, the first impression of the press conference, you can win a press conference, you can lose a press conference. You guys in Baltimore don't even know anything about introductory press conferences anymore because you haven't had one in damn near 20 years. So, I mean, that's one thing, and that's great. But, you know, everybody made fun of Dan Campbell, right? And with the biting kneecap. But Dan Campbell has ended up being a great head coach. I don't know if Liam Cohen's going to be a great head coach or not. But, yeah, he really didn't win the press conference. Whenever you sound that weird, it's not going to give you a good first impression.
Hey, Miles, I tell you what, you know, when you look at what's happened to Detroit, you know, the coaches they've lost, coordinators they've lost, is there any way that they can match what they did this past year?
It's going to be tough. I mean, whenever you are a great team, you're going to have that kind of brain drain, and then it becomes difficult to sustain those kinds of things. I mean, you look at the Rams, and after the Super Bowl they won, they lost Kevin O'Connell. And, you know, Kevin O'Connell, I think, has done a great job with the Minnesota Vikings, but that was a tough position for them to replace. They tried to replace it with Liam Cohen, actually, right? And then it didn't work out as offensive coordinator for them. And then Liam Cohen goes on and he does some bigger and better things, and now he's a head coach. But yeah, I think when you have somebody like a Dan Campbell who sets the tone, right, that attitude is going to remain the same. And that's the difficult part about being a head coach. Can you go about, you know, losing different parts of the operation and yet still be successful? I think it's going to be tough replacing a guy like a Ben Johnson, who does such a good job of not just scheming plays, but then calling the plays in a sequence during games that sets things up for other plays, right? That's not easy to do. And it goes game to game as well. And offense, I firmly believe, needs to make sense. There has to be a plan. You can't just pick them out, you know, plays like you're playing Madden. It doesn't work that way. And so replacing that, I think, is going to be probably a little bit more difficult than replacing Aaron Glenn. And I don't mean that in a bad way toward Aaron Glenn at all. But, you know, when you're promoting from within in a defensive scheme, that sometimes can be a lot easier than effectively hiring outside the organization. And Morton, who's going to be their new offensive coordinator in Detroit, was a part of the Dan Campbell Lions in 2022. But that's still not Ben Johnson and the way that he has schemed and dictated plays. So, yes, I think that they will still be good next year. Do I think that that means they're going to be as good as they were this year? Not necessarily, especially in a division that's going to be as tough as the NFC North.
Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk, joining us, Biddy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Miles, appreciate the time. By the way, Adam Gase, that was the mother of all pregame or introductory press conferences, where it's like,
it was
like he was being held hostage, meeting with the media. Miles, winner of Super Bowl 59, real quick, will be who?
The Kansas City Chiefs. They're going to get the three-peat. And, you know, it's difficult for me to pick against Patrick Mahomes until he shows otherwise, that he is not, you know, some sort of superhuman alien in the postseason. Now, I hate to, like, make you guys feel any kind of way, but I'm a little too young to remember the Jordan Bulls. But what I imagine the Jordan Bulls were like. You know, you see them, they continue to do things, they win in different ways, And when Patrick Mahomes needs to make a play, he just makes the play. And so I can't pick against the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know what the score is going to be. If you make me choose, I guess it'd be 27-24. But I just see the Chiefs winning it.
All they need is a little Judd Bushler to help out the thing there. He's Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk. We love your site, but Miles, enjoy Super Bowl 59.
All right, guys, take care.
Miles Simmons, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Basically said, stop crying. Kansas City just wins and get over it. Funhouse next. Ravens Justin Tucker accused of inappropriate sexual behavior by 6 massage therapists. This came out today on the banner, and it's Justin Fenton, Brina Smith, and Julie Sharper. And this just posted about 20 minutes ago on the Baltimore Banner website, and we'll see how it goes. I mean, I haven't read the story yet, and I will, as soon as I get home, dig into it. But not a good look.
And
Deshaun Watson, very prominent in the news cycle because of similar things, I guess.
That could be, because what did we, like the press conference after the season, what did we hear Harbs, like, you know, Justin Tucker, it was, you know, it was in his head. There might have been a lot of, you know, like, just hearing what you said about that article, you know, like when
banned
people start,
from spas,
yeah, like that has to affect you.
If they have 3 people on this story too, and yes. Justin Fenton, remember him from the Baltimore Sun, he's not going to come out half-ass. And again, let due process take its course. But you know, Justin Tucker is next to Lamar Jackson. He's probably the most recognizable player out of uniform on the team.
Yeah, and the other thing, Bob, when you know, you look at it, okay, now the league's going to get involved, possible suspension. So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, instead of bringing in maybe a young kick, you got to be prepared going in that Tucker may get suspended.
Yeah, so this is a story that's breaking here, and you can read it yourselves, everyone, and we'll, you know, come to conclusions again. We just let due process take its course, and we'll see what the Ravens and Justin Tucker. I mean, keep in mind, he's got family and everything involved here. All right, Nolan, it's kind of a bummer to end the segment there, but it just broke, so we have to share it with our audience. That's what we do. Any closing thoughts here?
No, I'm not even going to attempt to come up with anything there.
All right, let's do it.
Quick draws, fun house. The Rudeness Tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with Tyler in Aberdeen, who says, why do the Ravens never seem to have pass rushers, with monster sack numbers? Is it because they ask these guys to set the edge, play the run so much? Also, seems like most top-tier pass rushers these days, more fitting of a defensive end label outside of T.J. Watt with Pittsburgh.
Well, no. Well, Crosby's, Hendrickson, they're not 280-pound guys. So I would disagree with that. I mean, there's only a few each year, you know, and it's not like you got to kind of be like, Watt was like, what, the 30th pick? So that was kind of lucky, where Garrett was the first pick in a draft. You know, so some of those guys, Crosby was a 4th rounder. So you kind of got to get a little lucky there. And I don't see Owe ever being that guy? No. I do not.
What's monster sack, though? Over 15? Is that monster sack?
Well, 17 defensive, and a half was the highest this year.
Okay. Like, if you're in that defensive player of the year conversation.
Sure. Well, Suggs has been the last Raven to be that, correct?
Right. Yeah, and he was like a hybrid. They kind of changed that whole franchise tag, because I'm not an outside linebacker. I'm a hybrid defensive end slash, what do they call him now? Just a
pass rusher?
Pass rusher.
Right.
Right. Don't label me, man.
Well, Suggs was not as much sack total. I mean, he had like forced fumbles and a couple interceptions. I mean, he was like the full.
His win rate was rather high.
Yeah. And I, going back to that, those elite dudes, their win rates are extremely high. The Ravens guys' win rates are not high.
Moving over to Maryland here, texter here says Maryland showing clear improvements for the first time this season. They were battle tested by Marquette and Purdue early on. Would have been great to win one of those, but February and March, way more important. They have plenty of opportunities to boost their stock even more.
Yeah, and they get a week to chill. And as Kevin Willard said after the game last night, as you heard on The Fan, lift, shoot, do some individual stuff, try to stay. It's not game sharp as you can, because your next test is now on the road against Ohio State, who they thumped by 30. And now Ohio State's trying to put together a little late season run to build their NCAA tournament resume. Maryland will be favored. It's nine games left. They're favored at 7. I think they're going to be underdogs against Michigan and Michigan State.
One last one here also on the Terps. Texter says, I got to give Derek Queen some credit for his impact on the game, or ability to impact the game, even without a strong offensive showing. A lot of young players would be non-factors if they aren't scoring. He still brings the defense, the rebounding skills that keeps his minutes valuable no matter what. I love that this team isn't totally reliant on just one or two guys.
And that's what Walt said earlier, Walt Williams, that even though he was struggling from the field, that he dominated the paint defensively. Mm-hmm. He was contesting shots around the rim, and when they needed him to score late, he got some huge baskets there. But if Kevin Willard's listening, he is a loyal listener to the show. Tell Derek Queen, if you're going to shoot the left-handed hook, work on it.
Yeah.
Work on it a little bit during the next 7 days. We're done. It's Vinny at Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny, you're off tomorrow. What's up?
I'm going to Ann Arbor. Charlie's got two hockey games. I'm going to Michigan. But let me just say this. Saturday night, if you want to go to a Caps game, this is the one to go to. Caps Winnipeg, two best teams in hockey. Saturday night, 7 o'clock.
Saturday night's all right for a fight, as Elton John said way back when. We'll come back tomorrow with featured artist Friday's Billy Squire. We'll talk about all the things that have happened in your sports world over the next few hours or so. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you tomorrow. For now, class dismissed.